come to you this morning and just want to take some time and open ourselves to you and ask God that you could come down, that you could speak to my heart and give me direction. Pray that you give an unction and a leading, Lord, and pray that you would just speak to our hearts this morning, Father. We come here as mortal men with a soul that never dies, and we desire that that soul could be ministered to, and could be fed, and could be directed, Lord. That this could be productive time, and that our minds and our spiritual hearts could be renewed. So, God, I pray, speak to us. Pray you give me direction this morning, and we commit the service to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Well, I looked at the two words on the board this morning, and I had to think, my, if that's where it stops, we could be of all men most miserable. And Brother Eli was endeavoring to help us to understand the difference between things that we commit, sins we commit, and the old Adamic sinful nature within our heart that never dies until our breath is taken from us. I appreciated that this morning, and I'm going to leave that up there. I'm going to add my topic here, and we're going to talk about this morning. We could put a few question marks on the end of there. I have, these last weeks, I've been thinking about things in my life and pondering on what God would have for me as I look at my Christian life. And part of that has been sparked by being at the men's seminar here a few weeks ago. And some of what I'm going to share is related to what notes I took. And probably more than that is going to be sharing from what God has been impressing on my heart as to my response to Him as I walk in my daily life. How is it? And where is it at today compared to where it was 10 years ago? Where do we find ourselves? What is God doing? And where are we at? I guess that's my heart this morning is to, and it's been stirring on my heart for some time. Just different experiences that have been going on in my life, some things with family things from the past with that's been on the plate here lately. Seems like I've had a lot of phone calls, a lot of time spent and trying to relate with some things with my mother and things that have been there for some time. And in other situations as we look around us, and then it comes right down to those are all things that are out there, and it seems as though that's what God's having me to sort through and address and work with in my life. But really what it comes down to for me personally is where am I at in regards to walking in the Spirit of God? We all know what it was this morning. Brother Eli was helping us to understand, and it's very easy for us, I think, to understand the sinful nature. We know what that's like to deal with that. I think it's something that we all struggle with and face. That's, in my mind, not a question how that we can relate to that. But how do we get above that and beyond. That's what's really impressed in my heart this morning, is there's an answer. There's a way. And he says, walk ye in it. What does that mean? I want to take some time to help us understand that this morning, just to ponder on that. If you want to turn to John chapter 4, we're going to be using quite a number of scriptures this morning, moving around some and throughout the New Testament. John chapter 4, verse 24. As I look at Christ's life, something I've gained a new appreciation for has just been speaking to me this last couple months, just pondering on this very thing. Christ came, and he knew he had a purpose to fulfill. He had his part to play, as it were, in the plan of salvation. He had to come down. He had to be born of a woman. He had to live a life as a man here on earth. And he had to die, go to the grave, and then rise again. We all know that story, but as I've been pondering on Christ's life, the thing that has been impressing on me more and more is, what if he had chosen another way? What if he had gone about to establish his own kingdom? What would the difference have been? We don't know. And we don't need to go there this morning. Thank the Lord. And what he did is he came down, he fulfilled the plan that God had, and he said, it is finished. And as we look at that, Jesus knew that if he in his humanity, God in the flesh, had to take and try to address all these needs out here himself, he wasn't going to be able to get it done. It wasn't going to work. He had those human limitations. Something greater needed to happen. And so he had to leave so that the Comforter could come. And greater works than Jesus did could be done. Same type works, but so many more. So much greater work can God do now because Jesus filled his place and departed, and the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, has come. And that thing has just been working on my heart. The beauty and the purpose in all that and what God has in that for me. There's a difference there. Where we're no longer under this bondage to this nature and consumed in these things. We now have that still small voice saying, Dirk, go make this right. Dirk, as you look at that scripture and you see what God's showing you, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Dirk, as you work with that situation today, this is where I'd want you to go with that thing. Dirk, when you answer him, this is what I'd like you to say. Dirk, Dirk, Dirk. Thank the Lord, brothers. We have that Comforter who has come. And if we're born again, we can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts and desires of the flesh. But it's going to take a tuned-in heart that says, okay, Lord. Okay, Lord. Okay, Lord. Okay, Lord. Okay, Lord. No to the flesh. Okay, Lord. And that's how real it can be for us to walk in the Spirit and not walk in what in sin. Isn't that something that we kind of, it's not maybe a phenomenon, but don't we sometimes ponder on what is it to walk in the Spirit? How do you do that? What is it? Do you ever think about that sometimes? I do. And I feel like God's been making it more and more clear to me how simple that is. And I want to look here in John chapter 4 and read in verse 24. It says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah is coming, whom is called Christ. And when he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. How many times in the New Testament was Jesus able to just come out that clear? I'm not asking for a raise of hands, but I'm asking you to think about it a little bit. Why is it that Jesus could take and speak to her that clearly? Why is that? Anybody? It was full of the Holy Ghost. My thoughts are headed a little bit in the direction of what was it about this woman that allowed Christ to speak that directly? She was a Gentile, Joe. She was waiting for the Messiah. You get that picture? Open-headed, hearted, open-minded. She didn't have it all figured out. She wasn't a Jew where thus and thus and so. She was a Gentile. She was a Samaritan. She was looking for an answer. And Jesus came and met with her and gave her something that the majority of the people Jesus met throughout the day were not able to receive. And it's because, I believe, it's because of her heart condition that she found that kind of direction that day. Jesus could just say, woman, I am the one you're looking for. I'm here. Let's talk about it. There was an openness there. It's like as if there was a fellowship there. And you know, as we look at that, that's precious. I believe it's very precious. And we want to just think about that this morning. So, Dirk, can I speak to you this morning? Is your spirit turned to me? Are you open? Will you hear me if I speak? Will you let me in if I show you something? Will you, can you, I desire a relationship with you. And that's what the Spirit of God wants to do for us this morning. He loved us so much that he died on the cross so that we could receive that eternal life. And it says here, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And in truth means actually fleshing it out and making that happen. Not just talking about it, but actually taking it upon ourselves that we open ourselves and say, okay, Lord, and allowing that to make what we do be a reality of walking in the Spirit. It's that choice of which path we're going to walk as we make those choices all day long. And to me, that's just simple and it's precious. And I want to talk about that this morning. Walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit where that His Spirit can help us to know truth, where we can worship him in spirit and in truth, and it not just be an outward experience. No matter what our background is, we can all relate to an outward experience. I was just real recently here, I was spending some time with an Amish person, and I asked him, and that's something as I'm in this community longer, I just praying that God would help me learn how to break through that crust to get to the heart of the matter. And I asked him, I said, so have you ever been born again? And he said, well, I haven't become a part of the church yet. I haven't made that choice yet. I'm not ready to yet. I'm 20, and the way we do is if we want to get married and we want to, and we become a part of the church. And then we drive our buggy or we ride a bike, we get rid of our phones, we get rid of our cars, and we do that for Jesus. I'm not ready yet. Okay, that's interesting. In my mind, thinking, if I had to stand before God this afternoon and my life was finished, and I would start going down through a list like that, would that work? I'm not going to ask to raise the hands, but I think even down to one of the younger ones, we'd all know that would not work, would it? And I said, okay, I just explained to him how it was for me. And I could just see his wheels turning in his mind. And I explained to him my testimony, what God did for me and how it was. I was baptized as an infant. We had infant and adult baptism. That's how my church did. Gave room for people to come in so you could get baptized too. We got sprinkled on. It wasn't pouring and it was not immersion. It was sprinkling. I'm not going to talk all about that this morning. But what happened is later on I got converted because I realized in the Bible it speaks about repent, believe, and be baptized. And I got immersed. I got baptized again. And I got changed and I knew in my heart what I was and what God was calling me to. And I knew what it is to be free from sin. I felt that peace in my heart. I felt that joy in my heart. That's my conversion under Christ. I did add that. I think we have to have something like that of a personal testimony to be able to speak to religion out there. And there's a lot of different religions out there. Our community is just expressing one type. If you're going to talk to a Jew, you'd better have it lined up too. Atheist, Buddhist, whatever it is. These are all different forms, but there's many out there. But the same crying heart need comes at the end of the day, and we're laying in the hospital bed. That same question is, am I right with God? What would happen if all of us think that way, if we just stop and slow down and think about our eternal destiny? We all come to that, and it's because of how God made us. He put that hunger and that desire in all of our hearts. And this woman had that same desire too. She was looking, but she was open-hearted and open-minded because she wasn't just at a place of where her religion was sealing it off, as it were. She had an openness that she didn't have that answer yet. That answer is coming. And we need that. All of us do. And we, so as I look here, it just says to me that she had an open spirit. And I say, Dirk, you need that too. all day long. A teachable, open spirit. If you want to turn to Acts chapter 15, we could look there and we'll read a little. Acts chapter 15, verse 8, 9, and 10. It says here, "And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" Here they were having a big meeting and a discussion on some of the Jewish traditions. There was a group of them that did not see that you could take and go with this Jesus thing. You needed a certain amount of law underneath it all to kind of make it right. They just didn't have this thing clear. And so they were laying down some of these laws and ideas on the people rather than giving clear teaching on the work of Christ and the finished work that it was and what he did for us and how to walk in that. And they were just trying to get their direction clear as a New Testament church. They had a lot to talk about, spent a lot of time doing it, a lot of hours. Until that this burden and this vision became so real, and they saw the changed hearts around them, and it helped them to realize what God was doing and wanted to do with the church, and helping others to walk in the Spirit. This was a whole new covenant. And it's revealed by God to all men who have that faith to trust him in their hearts. It's as simple as having a trust and a faith that if I listen and I follow by faith, that can become a reality for me to walk with God. It's that choice. It's not about all these things. It's about that choice to open ourselves to God and say, "Okay, Lord," and not look to ourselves and each of us in our situations, whatever that might be. I come from one background, you do another. The saving work is not in the fulfilling of those things. It's in walking in Christ and according to his word. Brother Eli said this morning, being very careful that it is clearly from his word and that the context of it blends with the context of the word of God. Bounce those ideas off some other brothers. Bounce it off some prayer time. Bounce it off some relationships and walk and choose that way. It's healthy for us too. John chapter 16, if you want to turn there, John chapter 16, I'm going to read verses 5 to 16. This here is a lot of the heart of what I'm speaking about this morning, some of these things. The beauty of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, these verses bring out. In a beautiful way, it just makes it clear. John chapter 16 and verse 5. I'm going to read to verse 16. It says, "But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart." Jesus was relating with his disciples. He knew that the thought of him leaving was putting them through something, and there was some confusion. There was some things that were hard to understand, and he knew that he could talk for many hours and probably not get the point across enough as much as living it out and letting God speak later. But he spoke so that once these things happened, it would make sense. He wanted to get his disciples' hearts in tune with God's plan. But he realized that he's going to be leaving. So we go on here in verse 7. It says, "Nevertheless, I tell you this truth, it is expedient, or it's necessary for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you the things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and mine shall show it unto you. And all things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go unto the Father." I was very blessed with verse 7. He said, "It is so necessary that I go away that the Comforter will come." And then in verse 13, it says, "The Spirit of truth is come, and he will guide us into all truth. And whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." You know, that, I believe, is the difference between reading a book and reading God's word. That's the difference. There's life in God's word. Why is there life in there? It's because the Spirit of God brings the words out and the truth out and makes that book meat for our souls. That's the difference. It's the Spirit of God. And if it was not for the Spirit of God and Jesus leaving and the Spirit coming, this book would probably just be another book. But the Spirit of God makes this book meat for our souls. It makes it life. It makes it value. And it makes that all of us can go home across this world and read that book and get the same meat from it to live out our Christian life. It's because he was willing to leave and the Spirit of God could come, and that Word of God can become meat for us so that we can live our lives and bring honor and glory to God. Praise the Lord, brothers. It's a blessing. And because Christ was willing to just leave, the Spirit of God could come. And as I look at that, I guess as I see that, I just see where Jesus fulfilled his plan so beautifully, and how that the Spirit of God can direct our steps. And Jesus, knowing us, how we're made up, knew that except the Spirit of God comes, it's not going to work out right for each one of us. There is no way that Jesus could meet the needs of you and my soul's need in our relationship with God. Jesus couldn't put enough gas in his tank or food for his donkey to get the job done that needed done. It was humanly impossible. And so the question is, how does that power come into our hearts? It's by turning our hearts to him, saying, "Okay, Lord. Okay, Lord. Okay, Lord." Again and again and again. And, you know, I was thinking about this some. What's very interesting to me is how perfectly God gets this done. Okay, so if I do something wrong, How many times, just think about your own life. I spent some time thinking about this morning. I'm not sure if it's because of the teaching I had or what, but as I was thinking about it, when I know I did something wrong, how many times is it that I just feel a need to repent to the Holy Spirit? Do we think that way? You know, I don't. Thank God. Lord, will you forgive me? But somehow I don't think about the Holy Spirit. Do you? Why is it that we don't? Anybody? That's right. He does it perfectly. He's not even in the picture. I don't think that way. Why is that? Because he does his job perfectly and turns people to Christ. Jesus did his part. He's doing his part, and God's on the throne. Amen. Praise God. And we need it that way. It wouldn't work right any other way. And that's the way it's working. And without that vehicle of from God to man and the mediator to God, without that vehicle in our conscience and our hearts, the life and the breath of God couldn't change us like it does. We need the Holy Spirit. And that to me is just a wonderful thing. And the Christian life is by his voice speaking to our hearts and not the voice of our flesh. Throughout the day, I want to somehow explain this a little bit more. How many of us know what it is in a relationship? I think we've all experienced it, where we go through the day and we speak and we talk, but it's like the words bounce off and they don't hit. Do you know what I mean? It's like they're not listening. Can you identify with what I'm saying? Sometimes it's with our children, might be our wife, might be our brother, might be us. I believe that's as real as it is that the Spirit of God also throughout the day is walking alongside of Dirk, saying, Dirk, did you hear me? This way. No, just wait a minute. I believe it's that real. If the Spirit of God can speak, and there's a relationship, or like this. It's just that real. And yes, Lord, I appreciate that. Thanks. That's what I'm going to do. Thank you for showing me that. That's what I needed. God, thank you for working that in the heart of my child. Because God, if this don't change, it isn't going to work. Isn't it amazing the difference when God comes down and does a work in the heart? Isn't it amazing what God can change? And we can try to put different clothes on it. We can comb its hair and put some starch there to hold it once. We can change their shoes and polish them. But somehow we can't get down to where it really changes the heart. Except God does it. It's just the way it is. And we find ourselves as parents and brothers limited to that. And there's vehicles of fasting and prayer and devotions and there's a lot of those things, and they're good things. But if we don't get a hold of this, it's not going to work. So God took the time through Christ, and then Jesus said that the Spirit of God glorifies me. And he does. When I think of repentance, I think of kneeling down in my heart, as it were, and looking to Jesus. I don't think of the Holy Spirit that way. I just don't. And I believe it's because he so perfectly does his job. He's out of the picture. And yet he's a part of the picture. But you can't see him. But my, we can feel him. And I believe each of us knows what it's like when our spirit's not agreeing with the Spirit of God, and there's a war there. And I believe we all know what it's like to walk with the Spirit of God and have a relationship there. It's really quite simple, but yet it's so profound. And that's why Jesus did what he did, to allow the Holy Spirit to come down and speak to our hearts. By our lives, day to day, as we live our lives, we speak witness to people that we are bearing witness to the Spirit of God. We either have an open, teachable spirit, or we represent a closed, hardened heart and character whereby the Spirit of God that's dwelling in us is not revealed. Our connection with God brings this forth in a clear way, and it bears witness of the working of the Spirit moving in our lives. Me, myself, is the only one that can keep the Spirit of God from working in my life. It is my choice to allow that and give place to that, or choose to spurn that away. Jesus said, I in them, and them in me, and each of us lovingly and individually can have that connection with him. Praise the Lord. I need that. And brothers, if we walk like that all day long, to God be the glory, and it makes a difference. To God be the glory, and it makes a difference. It's the difference between just living our lives and living life. It's the difference between purpose and fulfillment and emptiness to the soul. It's the difference. And he has made a way that we can experience and know the difference. Praise the Lord. Again and again, I think that as I look at this. And walking in the Spirit comes down to it being that simple. Walking in the Spirit. It's a choice to open our hearts and yield our hearts. I was thinking about in the shop there, we have buckets of lead weights. At this point, we still use lead wheel weights on our vehicles. I would challenge any of you to come to my shop one day, and I'll give you 2 5-gallon buckets of lead wheel weights. And I want you to run to the intersection of 515 and back again. See if you can do it once. I'm not sure. I think a bucket of wheel weights is close to 75 or 100 pounds. Terrible heavy things. Our supply guy comes, and that's what weighs his truck down, his wheel weights. They're really heavy. And yet, lead is something, if you take that and you want to make some sinkers for fishing or you want to make some bullets, we sell these weights all the time. Right now we have a bunch, but often they're gone and people come looking and we don't have enough because they melt them down. At around 624 degrees, it turns into water, like as it were. If you heat lead up, it turns into a molten material, and the dirt and junk just floats to the top. And they say you skim that off, and hot, molten lead is very brilliant in color and very malleable. Lead conforms and shapes real easily when it's hard. It doesn't take a lot of heat for it to turn into molten. And as you look at lead, fire changes its properties. Heat changes it. It makes it into what you want to do with it, makes it useful. It changes its form into what you make it to be. If I pour that thing into a mold, that's what it's going to look like as soon as it cools down. And I had to think of it. That's the difference between water washing somebody, and we do all our children Saturday nights, you know, and probably more than that, but, you know, Saturday nights we tend to wash. So it makes it so nice in here this morning. We're clean. Just smells good. But the difference between washing and the Spirit of God also moving amongst us this morning and opening our hearts to Him, the difference in that spiritual washing is the difference that makes God say, I want to come down and I want to speak here this morning. I want to take and move in that congregation and in those hearts that are not born again. I want to save their souls. I want to do something in that home. I want to do something in that life. Because that heat that's on them, that God uses throughout the week, they're listening. Their hearts are open. And they're here this morning and they want to learn and they're impressionable, they're open, they're willing. Isn't it so much different from fire and water? And I believe that impressionable, that ability, God uses heat. Why does He want to use heat? I wish He'd wash. No, He uses heat. Are you getting the picture of what I'm saying this morning? Why do we have to go through that? That hurts. The hurt, the heat, can bring forth a valuable finished product, or the heat might never let off. And it will get so hot that we aren't going to be able to take it. And we don't want to go there. And that's my prayer this morning for each one of us. God uses heat to purify. It changes the properties of what it consumes. It's the difference between water and fire. But the fire of God wants to do its work, and that's why we go through these things. Because God wants to take, and He wants a difference between this and this. And the power of that working in our hearts is by walking in it. And oh, we wish we could get away from heat sometime. But rather, let's take and treasure that. Let's just treasure that. I have to draw a line somewhere in what I'm sharing this morning, and I'm trying to do that. But as we walk through the day, let's take and open ourselves to the Lord. That fire, that heat is the vehicle that God many times uses to do His finished work in our lives. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Why don't we all rise a minute here? I think that would... I've got a few more verses, but I want us to realize what I'm reading. Some of us are a little weary this morning. Let's all rise up. We'll read 2 Corinthians... If you have a Bible, you're welcome to read along with me. That be a blessing. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. Once you're there, we'll read it together. Second Corinthians 13, verse 14. Let's read together there. It says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen." You can be seated. I want to go over this verse here. This verse speaks about the Trinity of God. I want to go over it a little bit, just discuss it. The Trinity of God is powerful, and we need it. We wouldn't want it any different. As we look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, His grace is able to do its perfect work. That grace is available. That grace is life-changing. It can be. He made it that way. His grace is available. And also, it's so wonderful, it's so good and healthy for us to have the love of God. That love of God brings wisdom. It brings a fear of God. Just like a husband and wife relationship, when you love each other, there's a fear of going outside of that because you don't want to destroy your wife's confidence in you. You don't want to destroy that relationship. You don't want that relationship to have clouds there, do we? Come on now. No. We don't want that. We want it close, don't we? Absolutely. What's going to do that? If we love our wives, and so may we love our God. I mean, let it consume us. Love our God. May it grip our hearts. And then he goes on and he says, "And may the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all." And that to me is precious. I have a thing I want to read here. The acquaintance of God will not come in a hurry. Brother Dale said that at the seminar. It says, "The acquaintance of God will not come in a hurry, but by a relationship." Okay, this here, communion of the Holy Ghost, this is what I was talking about here as we walk together. It's that communion of the Holy Ghost. Yes, Lord, yes. And we go on and we just walk that way. And the love of God's burning in our heart. The grace of God, Jesus is working in our lives. And the communion of the Holy Ghost is right there. That, he says, be with you all, he said. And he says, amen, and let it be so. In other words, that is the meat of it. That is where the power is. That's where the grace of God comes down and the love of God bears its fruit in the communion of the Holy Ghost. This is awesome. Let's get a hold of this. That's what's been pressing on my heart this last while. Somehow that the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit is just enveloping the decisions I make. Yes, Lord. And the love of God is steering me as I walk. And the grace of God is changing what's not right yet, what needs to be sanctified. And see, God and Jesus knew us so well that he knew we need the Holy Ghost. It wasn't going to work any other way. You can't live this life we're talking about this morning without it. You can't do it. It's just going to all be law and performance. And the grip that that brings into our lives is strong. And I think all of us can relate to that. that bondage, that weight is strong. But the grace of God is stronger. And that's, I believe, what he wants to bring out with that verse this morning. May God help us. May we allow him to have the throne of our hearts. The Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I believe that that's so true. Blessed are the pure in heart that are living out, that are fleshing out this kind of a Christian life. When we can do that and we're experiencing that, it's a touch of heaven on earth. And the people around us know it that way. And that's God's heart. That's why he sent Jesus down. That's why he did all that work on the cross, so that the grace of Jesus could come down and fill our souls. Let's just thank the Lord a minute. I'm in prayer. Lord, we come before you this morning. We thank you for the finished work of Christ and for the Holy Spirit and the fact that we can have communion with you like this. That we can walk with you like this and have an intimate relationship with you and not just have a formal religion with no power. God, I pray this morning as we walk, I pray you'd strengthen each of us, brothers and sisters, to serve you the way Christ did. That our lives could be out of the picture and that you could be the focal point and that you could receive the honor and glory that you deserve. God, we thank you that you made this way, that we aren't stuck in our own devices. We thank you that you paid such a price for our souls. Lord, we're not worthy of that, but yet you reached down and you touched us, and you desire to draw us to yourself and wash us with your Spirit, Lord, through the blood of Jesus. I thank you this morning for your word, for the New Testament, that you didn't leave us stuck in the old. Oh God, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.